so good to me. Monday morning, it was all I hoped it would be.
We are back, and it is tax day. Everybody's favorite day of the year. The weekend recap, Brian and Sam here with you. The biggest story, it was a busy weekend, that's for sure. And I'd say the biggest story of the weekend was the Midwest got hammered with a ton of snow.
Oh, yep. That's exactly what it is. As soon as you started that statement, that's what I was thinking, especially for you guys in Chicago.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather down here in Des Moines, but not so for you guys.
Yeah, it snowed pretty much from 9 a.m. to about 6 p.m. nonstop. Oh, it wasn't that heavy, but it was enough where it sticks, and it made, you know, watching the real big story of the weekend, Tiger Woods winning the Masters for the fifth time and the first time since 2005, interesting, because as I'm looking out at Augusta that looks picturesque and occasionally drizzling, but still much better than where we are or where I was, and I take a look to my left and I just see crazy wind and snow falling everywhere. It was quite a scene, as the kids would say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the Masters is kind of supposed to kick off the start of spring officially,
yeah,
especially for us in the Midwest, but maybe not so.
Even the late Easter did not do it, and the spring is still not fully here, even though it was like 55 degrees Saturday in Chicago. Enough about the weather, though. Tiger, incredible tournament he played. To even pull this feat off is nothing short of spectacular. The man has a fused spine. He hadn't won at Augusta since 2005, 14 years prior. It's his fifth green jacket. He did so without really playing a complete round. He played well in the short game early on. He saved some putts. He had some long putts early. I believe the stat that Vern Lundquist threw out there was that he was the top player in the first two rounds on putts longer than 20 feet. And inside 10 feet, he was 84th of 87.
Holy cow.
So it just goes to show.
It makes it all that more impressive.
Yeah, he really didn't play particularly great early on. As has been customary in his four previous wins, he shot a first-round 70. So that's now five first-round 70s, and he's won those five. But at the end of the day, it was his ability to essentially just stay calm and use his experience there. And the fact that the crowds were insane right behind him and cheering him on every bit of the way. You feel bad for guys like Molinari, who just fell apart at the end and couldn't get it together. And Brooks Koepka is a great golfer, and he missed a few putts that he normally doesn't. But the Tiger factor is real, and Xander Schauffele as well. He's a young dude. He's going to be back. He'll be very much in the mix next year and throughout the major season this year. But they all talked about at Butler Cabin after their round was over in the clubhouse about how, you know, the crowd was great, but you just knew when Tiger did something because the Tiger roar was back and it was real.
Yep, it was decidedly pro-Tiger. For about as meatball of a reason as you could, I was probably one of the few people, maybe the dozens across the entire country, that was rooting against him, only because for two very infantile reasons. One, I placed a bet with my buddy probably 2-3 years ago that Tiger would never win another major. Jeez. That was quelled today. And for just because I've gone to schools that are blue and white literally my entire life, and I'm about as big of a Nebraska hater as I possibly can. I cannot stand the color red. So the Sunday red with Tiger is iconic. As I said, it's about a meatball of an answer as you can do. But I really do got to tip my hat to him. Maybe wouldn't recommend tipping his hat with his hairline. But
yeah, that was tough.
Just got to get my digs in where I can.
That was tough. The hair. I mean, if you keep the hat on, Tiger looks the exact same as when he first came on the tour.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. But then he takes the hat off, and you're like, oh, my God, what happened
to
you?
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy? But, yeah, the Masters has come and gone. We're officially in spring, air quotes, and golf is back. So get ready for the other majors that are coming around the corner. We'll certainly have some more of that. This summer, we've also got the NBA playoffs going on. I have a quick stat. I have not watched a single game. but the unders are 6-0, and they're going under by an average of 19.5 points.
Holy cow.
So teams really aren't scoring. I looked earlier today. I think it was the Celtics beat the Pacers 84-74. That's a college basketball score right there.
That's a NBA in the 80s and 90s when Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing are playing score.
Absolutely.
That's what that is.
I don't know what is going on. And I also saw the Amir Johnson checking his phone on the bench. I don't know why or what happened there. I really didn't read into it. This is what I'll say. I saw a tweet from Draymond Green saying, "Oh, you guys don't check your phone during work?" Well, I work 9 to 5. You work for 2.5 hours playing a game. Sure, there's obviously a lot more prep time and all the other stuff. You know, you have to get to the arena early and do everything else. But you can look at your phone then. All they ask is that for 2 hours you are focused on the game and the opponent at hand, not looking at your phone on the bench. It's not a huge deal, but for him to come back and be like, "Oh, you guys don't check your phone during work?" Like, yeah, I get it's a job, but this is completely different. Like, you don't see any other sport looking at their phone during a game.
Well, especially because, like, that time is typically like an athlete's escape, whether you're an amateur, whether you're getting paid millions of dollars like these guys in the NBA are.
It's just the game. That's what
you feel like you're tied to your phone. Yeah, exactly.
So that was just a weird thing, and the tweet was so dumb, I couldn't handle it. But that's the big NBA news. Will Wade, college basketball, he is officially back at LSU. Sam, you mentioned this to me pre-show. I'd just seen it. So everything we know is that he's back, right?
And the statement is hilarious. It's kind of Sean Miller press conference-esque there. But Will Wade's back. He'll keep on dropping bags. I have no doubt about that. And we'll
allegedly.
See if they can allegedly, of allegedly. Course. Yeah, a funny quote in there of the thing I sent you is that he was like, "Oh, I have to explain what has happened like in the past 30 days." And that kind of got me wondering, like, what in the world?
What has happened?
Yeah, right? Like, what? And Creighton's assistant, Preston Murphy, has been kind of out of the scene longer than that. But I wonder what these coaches do in just like their quote-unquote downtime that they're being investigated.
It's a good question. I think this is what I think. I think when coaches get put on that leave, it should be required by rule or law or whatever we can do that they have to keep a journal and they have to write in it 3 times a day when they wake up, after they eat lunch, and before they go to bed. And that's what we get to read as court evidence.
Oh, that would be absolutely – I'm all on board in that idea, for that idea. There you go.
FBI, if you're listening, and we know you are, give us a call. We're happy to help out. The NHL playoffs are in full swing, and boy, oh boy, do we have some surprises. Before I read through all these series, Sam, what do you have as your biggest surprise so far?
My biggest surprise, and what I would kind of jokingly refer as my ribbing tiger goes, the biggest sports story of the weekend for me, at least, is the Columbus Blue Jackets grabbing 2 down in Tampa and coming back in Columbus. And instead of collapsing like they did last year when they got up 2-0 on the Washington Capitals, they came back with a 3-1 win. So now they're up 3-0 on one of the greatest regular season NHL teams in league history. It's absolutely insane. Like, yeah, if you look at the odds about the likelihood of the Tiger winning the Masters versus this happening, Tiger was ranked 12th in the world before this.
Correct.
And while it is an awesome story, and I'm gonna die on this hill, but the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have been a laughingstock for so long, who have never won a playoff series, who just had their first ever Gordie Howe hat trick in franchise history in what I think it was game one, for them to go up 3-0, and it'll be all the more hilarious if they lose 4 straight. But the way in which they're winning these games, a demoralizing comeback back in game one, an absolutely dominant performance in game two, and kind of hanging on and getting an empty net goal in game three, I don't see them losing this series.
Yeah, it's tough to see any downside right now for Columbus, because even if you lose a game, it's like you're still up 3-1. However, 3-0 is the most dangerous lead in hockey. People forget this. I agree but it's also Tampa. Like, this team was a regular yeah. season wagon. They feel like the Capitals of, like, 3 years ago, where mm-hmm. they're so good in the regular season, and then for whatever reason, they just can't get the monkey off their back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That said, I think they're more talented than Washington ever was.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you look at that first line alone, like, Nikita Kucherov yeah. was the league's leading scorer. He had as many points as the team had this year.
Yeah, and to be fair, Nikita Kucherov was out for the Lightning, and Victor yeah. Hedman was out. So if they were going to lose a game, this is the game that yeah. they would have lost. But with their backup against the wall, like, teams that go down 3-0, there's a reason that there's such Cinderella stories, because no matter the sport, they don't come back from that.
Right.
The 2-0 lead is obviously not impossible to come back, but it's relatively insurmountable. Now them being down 3-0 and with their backs up against the wall without Nikita Kucherov, who was suspended for a game, and then Victor Hedman, that, like, I cannot imagine being a Tampa Bay Lightning fan.
Yeah, I think they're going to win game 4. I don't see a sweep, but then again, I didn't see Columbus really fighting in this series. Like, the thing was, this was Columbus's do-or-die year. They sold the farm to get this team and put these guys together and really make it happen. And they're getting the bang for their buck right now. Like, it looks like a genius move as of this moment right now. And I'm sure that sound clip will not come back to bite me in any way, shape, or form.
We'll bookmark this.
Yes. The other series that I wanted to highlight is the New York Islanders are up 3-0 on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pittsburgh... I don't know what to say about Pittsburgh. They feel like they had so much playoff success over this past decade and past decade, I'll say. It felt like it was them and the Hawks and the Kings for a little bit, and then the Kings fell off, and now the Hawks have fallen off. And now it's just the Penguins, who are the team that perennially makes the playoffs. They're always competitive in it. Like, they always find ways to win, no matter what.
They've gone back-to-back.
Yeah. Even the fact that, like, yes, they have a ton of talent, but it's still, teams know what this team is. Like, it's not like they've changed anything up. They're still the same team. And, you know, credit to the Islanders. They lose John Tavares, their best player, by and far. And this team comes back and plays incredible hockey, gets into the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're up 3-0. The big negative I see is that on the horizon is a playoff series at the Barclays Center if they win, because I'm 80% sure that I saw on Twitter it was mentioned that they will not be at the Coliseum if they win this round, which is just bananas, but
yep.
That's New York Islanders hockey.
Yeah, and well, that just goes to show you that they didn't think they'd be here either.
Yeah, exactly. The scheduling was not great.
Exactly, yeah. So, again, not to, obviously the Blue Jackets Lightning series is huge, but this, if not for that, this would be the most surprising story in the NHL by far as well.
Yep.
So, credit to the New York Islanders for putting a heck of a series together so far. Obviously, as I've said not even 3 minutes ago, but coming back from down 3-0 would be all but impossible. But I'd say that Pittsburgh has a lot bigger chance. Yeah, they're the team that can do it. It could vault them into their third cup run in 4 years, but it's playoff hockey, and you never know what could happen.
Playoff hockey, baby. Speaking of the rest of the Eastern Conference, Boston and Toronto are tied at a game apiece. Washington up 2-0 on Carolina. The Caps look really good. I think they're going to be very tough out. My pick to win the Cup is on the West, but I really like Washington, and that I know that's a dumb thing to say because it's always the Caps here. St. Louis is up 2-1 on my Stanley Cup pick, Winnipeg. The Blues, man, they just are finding ways to win, and it pretty much just stems from that massive win streak they had right at the turn of the new year. The goaltending has been outrageously good.
Yeah. Well, and shout out to Kevin Bartman. He was there.
Yep.
I don't know if he was zigging when Dan and Nick were zagging on go with the flow and picked the Blues just to kind of be a contrarian, but they do not look like a bad Cup pick, but obviously plenty to achieve from here.
This game has the complete feel of a 7-game series, which is what I love.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Nashville and Dallas won apiece. Dallas, game-winning goal in overtime last night, Saturday night, excuse me. Calgary 1-1 over with Colorado, excuse me. They're tied. You can't be winning 1-1. And then Vegas and San Jose are 1-1, but as we're recording, it is 2-1 at the end of the first period. Vegas leads. I love this series as well. I think this is probably one of the more fun series. There's so much talent on San Jose, and then Vegas, the atmosphere in the building, the crowd, the way they play so quick and up the boards. Like they chip and they're all over the place, and it's way more fun than you know, some of the other styles. I'm not going to pick on any teams, but some of the other styles of play. And this is like when they first switched over to the divisional way of the playoffs, where, you know, each division plays each other in the first two rounds, and then it goes to like the winner of the divisions plays in the conference final. The Pacific always sucked. It was always so boring because it's just not a good, it was never a good brand of hockey. Like the Kings were great, but they would play nobody.
They just roll over.
The Sharks sucked. Then they could never do anything back in those series. Vancouver was like a nightmare. It was never anything massive. And now all of a sudden, Vegas has come out of nowhere. San Jose has added a ton of talent. And it's way more interesting than it was previously.
Well, the only thing that I have to say about this series is you said it just about perfectly. My only complaint is, and I seem to be in a complaining mood. I'm sorry about this, folks. But these games start at 9 o'clock, 9:30. The same with Colorado Calgary. And I want to give a shout out to obviously Megan, our resident Avs writer and fan. That was Nathan MacKinnon's overtime goal yesterday at about 12:50 a.m. Central Time. I can't believe I stayed up for it, but that was an absolute that got me riled up, and I'm a neutral observer.
Yeah, I mean, as we've alluded to already, we have a hockey podcast. It's called Go With The Flow. If you haven't checked it out yet, you're missing big time, especially if you're a hockey fan. They will have a far more in-depth and more educated breakdown of the playoffs than we have. We are just casual fans who like the game and watch a few whenever we get a chance. These guys live, breathe, and die with hockey. That is the show you need to check out, Go With The Flow. For baseball news, we have Shoeless Goat. And as always, you can check us out, letmebefrankblog.com or lmbfsports.com. We own both domains. And at lmbfsports on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Any final words for the folks?
Just have a wonderful week. This is playoff hockey, playoff basketball.
Enjoy it.
Fun time to be a sports fan.
Yep, enjoy it. It's almost the full-blown summer.